You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hola, Koinonia Church. I am so excited to be able to share with you this message. My name is Pastor Candace. I am the executive pastor here at Koinonia. And I believe I have a word for you, wherever you are, wherever you're listening. I just ask that you would tune in, be honest with where you're at in your heart. Try to invite the Holy Spirit to give you eyes to see and ears to hear both Him and yourself, and maybe how to navigate this current season. Sometimes when I am in my room and I want a snack, I go to the kitchen, and on my way to the kitchen, I get interrupted several times. My kids will come, they'll say something, I'll answer them, I'll notice something kind of a mess on the table, so I'll straighten it up. And by the time I get to the kitchen, sometimes I stand in there, I'm like, what did I come in here for? Have you ever had that moment where you're just like, I don't remember what I'm looking at? Or you get all the way to the fridge and you open it up and you're just staring and you're just like, what am I doing? I do feel a little bit like this season of reset has been because we were on track going in a way, and all of a sudden all of these distractions have started to come up and we may have forgotten why we're on the move. And if that's you today, I just want to invite you, let's go back. The tool that I always use when I'm in that situation, and actually going back to my bedroom, sitting down again, be like, what was I doing? If I go back to where I started, sometimes I can remember why I got up in the first place. And that's what this season's all about. Let's go back to where we started. Let's go back to what the foundations of our faith are, the foundations even of our faith family, to remember how to move forward well. Let's reset our minds. Let's start again. Let's not let it get weird. Let's not let it stay weird. Our values as a church is igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all. Pastor Andrew taught this a couple weeks ago. If you didn't get a chance to watch that, it is worth the click through and the rewatch to really get a sense of where we are in terms of our faith. It says that without faith, we cannot please God. And I tell you, I want to please God more than anything else. I want the Lord to look upon this daughter of His and be pleased. And so we need that that faith that is contagious, and we need to light it up every single day. He also taught about how Jesus is everything. And then today we're going to talk about how people matter. Have you ever said one of those words over and over, like ambulance, ambulance, ambulance? If you say that word enough, it starts to sound like not the same word. You're like, what word am I saying? I don't even know. This has been the word matter to me because I've been studying and figuring out what this word matter means, and to where now I'm like, I don't even know how to say the word matter without kind of a little bit of an accent, because I've said it so many times. But I will tell you that people matter to God. People matter to the Lord. And the word matter actually means that they have value. They are important. There is significance in every person who is alive. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up or click through. We're going to go through three main stories. They're really short and sweet. And honestly, we can teach a message on any of these, but I just want to breeze through them because it gives us this overarching understanding of how much the people, both saved and unsaved, matter to the Father. How important are His creation to Him? These three verses kind of give us an overview of that. And actually, any scripture that you read, you can understand how the Father is reaching out to try to get His people closer to Him, try to get His people to see Him and know Him and have a relationship with Him, all the way from Genesis, all the way to Revelation, and then to where we are today. God is reaching out and trying to pull His people into relationship with Him. Wherever you're sitting today, God is trying to pull you into a deeper relationship with Him. If you're not saved today, He's asking for your salvation. He's asking for your agreement into His family. And if you've been saved for 45 years, He's asking for you to know Him more. He's asking for you to go deeper. It doesn't matter how long we've been in the family. There's always more of Him because of how significant and how valuable you are to Him. He will never stop revealing Himself to you. So let's read this first batch of scripture Luke 15, starting in verse 7, Jesus was always walking around with people, and there was always this crowd. And some of the crowd were Pharisees. Those are the church people. And back in the day, in the story of Jesus, the church people were often the most critical of people who were not living in the right way. And you see this here in Luke 15, starting 1 through 7. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners, those are two people, okay? Tax collectors and sinners, and they're kind of categorized in this same group. They were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Not only does he welcome people who are maybe undesirable, they were not valuable people in the community. They were seen as wretched or distorted, or they were seen as broken people. Not only does Jesus welcome them, he talks with them, but he invites them to the table, which is not just symbolic. It's actually a practical move to say, "Hey, listen, I want to know you. We're going to break bread together. We're going to be friends. We're going to be people who swap understanding and start to love each other in a different way." So he eats with them. So verse 3, so Jesus told them this parable. This is Jesus' response. He often responded to criticism in a way to help them see themselves as well as to understand Jesus. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Jesus is telling us that he will go above and beyond to find the one. And a person who needs Christ, Christ will meet them where they are. We're going to skip ahead and go to Luke 22, starting in verse 49. This is right after Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested to be tried and eventually crucified. And it says, "When those who are around him saw what was coming, they asked, 'Lord, should we strike with the sword?' Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest, cut off his right ear." One of the other gospels, you know that this is Peter, the hothead. Verse 51, it says, "But Jesus said, 'No more of this.' Then he touched his ear and healed him. When Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, to the elders who had come for him, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were abandoned?'" This is an incredible story because Jesus was about to be arrested. In that moment, we would have all sorts of emotions. We want to protect our Lord. We want to protect the man who had been leading us for these years. And it makes sense to defend. It makes sense to lash out in the way that they did. But Jesus, even though the man who had his ear cut off was just a slave of the man who was trying to arrest him, he gave him a gift of having his ear healed. And I guarantee that man was never the same. He was never the same after that because he mattered to Jesus and he made sure that he knew it. And the last story I want to share with you, Mark 3, verse 1 through 6. This is a story of, it's another healing from Jesus that just challenged the way that people, specifically church people, think about how to love others. It says, "Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath." So let me just pause right there. The Sabbath is the day set apart to honor the Lord. The Lord, God made the earth in 6 days, and then on the last day he rested. He said, just like that, you guys are going to work for 6 days, but on this last day, you're going to do nothing. You're not going to work. You're not going to gather wood. You're going to keep this day sacred to remember and honor me to remember how I made this earth. So it was a really big deal to do nothing on the Sabbath. They didn't do a whole lot. They didn't make fire. They didn't do a lot of things that they would normally do. So now they're watching him, and they're in this place of watching how Jesus chooses to love because they wanted to accuse him. In verse 3, it says, He said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to him, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at the hardness of their heart and said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately and conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Jesus wasn't often angry, but when he was angry, it was because of how people choose not to love. People choose to allow others to go on in suffering instead of doing whatever it takes to pull them in, to restore, to heal, to love on others. In this situation, they had put a rule in front of one of the main rules, which is to love people. And so when we say that people matter, that word matter actually requires some stuff. In order to actually not just say people matter, but to believe and act like people matter, it will cause some response. I can sit on my couch and be like, man, I really value all of these people. I can just look at the news. I can watch. I can scroll through all my social media and be like, oh, that person matters. And just saying that, yeah, that's pretty good. But to actually move, act, and live my life around this principle, to worship God in a way that lets him know that I believe that people matter, will require some stuff. Matter requires sacrifice. And we see that when Jesus talked about leaving the 99 for the one. I'm going to set apart my reputation. I'm going to move away from what I've said as comfortable. I'm going to allow that to die so that I can go and find this one. He risked a lot. And there's a lot of in that story that as you study the story of the 99, that there's actually safety and security in that group. And so when a person is outside of the group, there's this desire to pull them in. And leaving the group, just think about it. What is it like to leave the group? If you're at a dinner party or you're hanging out with your friends, you're in this place of comfort. And to realize that somebody else isn't in that place of comfort, and to leave your place of comfort to pull somebody else in, is a sacrifice. But that's the stuff that lets people know that they matter. When was the last time you left your place of comfort, or your place of where everybody kind of is like you or around you and agrees with you? When was the last time you left that? When you left that security in order to make sure somebody else had a little bit of that same security? Matter requires consideration. Consideration is actually this idea of pausing and thinking about others. It is really easy just to go about your own agenda, okay? And I'm kind of like goal-oriented. I love to kind of get things done. I'm wildly distracted all the time, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a type A in the stereotypical way that we think of those type A's. You can ask anybody on staff. Very, very distracted. But I love to get stuff done. I love to move. I love to groove. I like to be on the go. And so sometimes, if I don't pause and consider how to love people today, make it a moment, make it something that stops my motion, we might miss them. I think that sometimes in the chaos, in our own fears, in our own insecurities, sometimes we forget how big this world is and how important our neighbors are and how small the acts of love can be to actually reveal to them that they matter to us, therefore they matter to God. When I think about that story of Jesus healing the man's ear, I can't even imagine what the chaos of that attempted arrest or that arrest was like. And even in that chaos, he could have just been like, don't kill people and then move forward. But he took it a step forward. He considered what the man's life will be like now that he doesn't have an ear. He took it a step forward. He picked up the ear from the ground. I don't know if he had to clean it up. I don't know what that miracle was like, but he had to reach out, touch the man and heal him. And that consideration in the middle of one of the most, the turning points in his life, in Jesus' life, in that chaotic moment, he still considered somebody who would have been the least of these. Consideration. We are not exempt from people matter in our chaos. We are not exempt from people matter in our seasons of trial. We are not exempt from people matter in our seasons of high stress. We have the example of Jesus that consideration is required in all seasons. There is no excuse, which is really hard. It's really, really hard. Matter requires intention. Jesus knew what he was doing when he healed on the Sabbath. He knew that it was going to teach us that sometimes we set up rules, sometimes we set up ideas, sometimes we set up traditions that actually eliminate loving people. And he knew that without intention, without focus, without doing things on purpose, people would start to have less value around us. That our process is not going to be automatically towards loving people more. That as we kind of move about our days, we become more and more self-focused and not people-focused. That is the automatic track. And so Jesus exemplified intentionality with loving others. And the challenge is, when we intentionally love people around us, it won't always please people watching us, because sometimes it will look a way that counteracts their values, their understanding, their wishes. Have you ever been convicted by the love of that somebody else can show somebody? I have many, many times. There is this one story where our office for our staff is downtown, and I came into the office and there was a leak. And I was like, what's going on? There's a leak. It hasn't been raining. What's going on? So we had somebody go up on the roof, and come to find out, somebody had been siphoning water from one of the spigots on top of our office roof. And there was a leak the whole night, and it had just been dripping and eventually came into our office. And I will tell you, something rose up inside of me that was not righteous. I was very angry. And I was like, they're going to pay. We're going to probably, maybe we'll press charges. I had all of what we deemed as justice on my side. And so I was ready to go and activate the process of justice to make sure that we were, we had ours, we had our due, you know what I mean? And so I was going in and I was kind of going through the process, like, maybe let me call the cops. I don't know what I got to do next. And Andrew came in and he just said, let's not do anything. If they had come and asked for water, we would have given it to them. So let's not disregard a potential relationship for something that we would have given them freely. In that moment, just the conviction of the Lord fell on me so hard. I was like, oh, you're right. Like, I was here ready to fight for something that I really would have given them freely. But because they didn't ask, they didn't do it right, I was like, well, they don't matter as much. You know, what matters is my justice. You know what I mean? And so it was the intentional remembering what is most important in this situation. Not that I get my $25 or whatever worth of ceiling tiles paid back to me, but it was that I let people know that we're a generous people, we're a forgiving people, and that even if they don't know and love Jesus, we know and love Jesus, and we're going to treat them like we know and love Jesus. And the real challenge, guys, is, and even just like in that story, I was not operating totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit. I'm very, very grateful to work in a place where I get called out, checked all the time by the Holy Spirit, by the brothers and sisters that I work with. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Because without the Holy Spirit, I could not love people the way I'm supposed to. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not love people the way that we're supposed to. Matter requires the Holy Spirit. We cannot gathering of unction, ideas, inspiration to love people well without the power of the Holy Spirit. There's actually an entire chapter on how to love people. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us how to love well, how to minister well, how to use the gifts of the Spirit well. And without his empowerment, there is no way to do it. There is no way to do it. So some of the ways that we love people, that we can make sure that people matter, number one is through your words. Man, your words matter. Have you ever spoke harshly to a young child? You can see the countenance of that child break down. And there was this one time when my son, he's just running around the car, having a good old time. And it was fun for a while. And then he started to like get a little bit crazy and he had just crossed the line. He didn't know that I had a long day. And so I snapped at him real quick. And it was like, he stopped in his tracks. Joy was gone because I snapped at him. And I, you know, maybe he should have been snapped at, but my singular word, my singular statement totally redirected the engagement that he was experiencing, the feeling that he was expressing. I can totally change with a singular word, the atmosphere in my home. With a word of encouragement, you can pull somebody up. With a word of discouragement, you can pull somebody down for a really long time. Your words matter to the people around you. Your words matter to your spouse. Your words matter to your spouse. They may not be asking for the compliment. They may not be, you may not be thinking that that criticism is a big deal, but when it lands just right, it can change the direction of our future. It really, really can. Your words matter. Your actions matter. What you do, where you go, how you behave, it matters. And it shows and reveals the inside of your heart. Your social media posts matter. The things that we post, that we reshare, that we tweet, it can reveal how we think about people. If I were to look at your social media posts, would I tell that you love Jesus more than you love other things? Your attitude matters. Sometimes when we're impatient with people, we communicate to them that this thing that I'm doing, maybe this grocery list that I have, is actually more important than you. Our attitude towards people, or maybe the order that I have, this lunch order that I have, you didn't get it quite right. And so my attitude to my server can communicate that this meal is more important than them. So how we treat people, how we speak to people, how we act towards people, how we post about people, groups, or communities is being read all the time. Just like the Pharisees were watching Jesus to see how he behaved to that woman, people are watching all the time. People are watching us all the time. Your kids are always watching. The goal is that people would matter more than my reputation. That people would matter more than my comfort, that people would matter more than my opinion. And that when I'm engaging with people, that they know that they feel that they express that. And the whole point of treating people the way that they deserve to be treated, that we alter certain things in our lives because we're in community, because we're a people dedicated to loving and restoring this planet. I know that I have two kids and I know that they matter to me. It is obvious. Okay. So, when they were little and we would have nights when they wake up in the middle of the night and they tap me on the forehead, which is probably one of my least favorite things about parenting, is getting woken up by the forehead tap. It is incredibly jarring. And I would love to teach my kids another way to wake me up, but they wake me up tapping my forehead. And they're like, "Mommy, I don't feel so good." And then immediately throw up on my floor. In those moments, I'm like, this person matters. You know how I know? Because I don't ignore them. I don't yell at them. I respond in compassion. I respond in compassion, even though I was just disturbed, even though the task ahead of me is not my favorite, even though it's costing me my sleep, even though I feel like maybe they could have woken up their father instead of me. You know, there's so many things going into this, but I know that they matter to me because I just get up. I get up and I hold them. I get up and I comfort them. I get up and I clean the mess, or my husband does. I wake him up and he cleans the mess and I hold them. And whatever the thing is, I know that these people matter to me. Number one, because I've invested in them. I've invested lots of time. I know that they matter because I see a bit of myself in them. And that just draws us in as a family. Like, we have these similarities. We have these inside jokes. There's something that's built. And those things, those little bits of who my kids are, constantly remind me of the why. It constantly reminds me of the why. And so sometimes I think that when people start to lose their value in our eyes, we have to ask us, why? We have to ask ourselves, why? Did we lose our why they matter? And if there are people groups, maybe it's a certain type of a person. Maybe it's a person who is too rich in your opinion, or a person who is too poor in your opinion. Maybe it's a person who's too different than you, or too annoying or too frustrating. You don't like how they post. You don't like how they talk. You don't like how they communicate. Maybe it's a group of people. It's people who work in this industry are this way. Like, they are just a little bit less valuable. I don't like them as much as maybe my own people. They're not my people. Whoever those people are, we might need to ask us why they matter. And if we ask ourselves why people matter, why do people matter? I have come up with just a couple reasons why people matter automatically. It doesn't matter who they are. Number one, people matter because they're created in the image of God. We believe in the Imago Dei, that all humans, every single person, whether they have a special need, they have a handicap, whether they're incredibly dark-complected or incredibly pale, no matter where they are on that spectrum, no matter what color they are, no matter what language they speak, or if they can't speak, wherever, whatever country they were born in, whatever occupation they currently choose to use to make money or don't use to make money, no matter what they've chosen in their past that has brought them to where they are today, they are a person made in the image of God. And if we lose that, we can start to devalue them and make them less than human. And whenever we devalue people, make them less than human, we just start to clump people into groups and be like, that group is dot, dot, dot. We can fill in that blank with something that dehumanizes a person, that removes them from being made in the image of the creator of the universe. And it can make us treat them in a way that says that they don't matter. They don't matter as much as people who are more like this. And when we read in Genesis that when Jesus and when God looks at his creation and he says they're made in our image, we have to adopt that same understanding. When I look at his creation, when I look at another person, I need to train myself to see Jesus. I need to train myself to see God. Because again, loving God is the most important thing. And so when I look at his creation, I have to understand this is God's creation. It doesn't matter how annoyed I am with them. It doesn't matter how much I disagree with them. It doesn't matter how much they've hurt me. They're made in the image of God. People matter because Jesus treated them like they matter. And he is our ultimate example. When you look through the Gospels and you see how Jesus treated people, man, he loved them. He loved people in a way that's kind of, it's kind of extreme. It's kind of wild how much he loved people and how much he would orient his days around teaching and healing and loving people. It says that when he went ashore, this is in Matthew 14:14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. That kind of series of words happens so often. He saw them, he had compassion for them, he acted. He saw them, had compassion, he did something. When you see people, first of all, do you see people or do you just see groups? He saw a group, it was a crowd, but he saw people, he saw his creation, he saw people he loved. Are you full of compassion or just frustration or distance or apathy? And then does that compassion translate into love? People matter because it's our calling. We are not called as Christians. We are not called just to bring people into salvation. We are called to disciple. Okay, and making disciples is actually a much more nitty-gritty, dirty work than bringing salvation to a house, okay? Discipleship requires knowing people. And when you get to know somebody, you're going to find some stuff in them that you're not going to like, guaranteed. The more you get to know me, the more you're going to realize, oh, dang, Candace does not have it all going on. You'll realize that about me very, very quickly. And as you disciple people, you bring them Jesus, and then you bring them along in how you love Jesus. You teach them how to live, and you teach them how to see God. You teach them how to understand the Bible. You teach them how to change some of their behaviors with the power of the Holy Spirit. That type of action is what we're called to. It says in Matthew 28, in verse 18 to 20, Jesus came and said to them, this is the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The way that we're called to love people, Jesus had said he'd be there with us throughout the whole thing. We have the Holy Spirit. He's going to help us. But we're not called just to like spread the name of Jesus and then leave. We're called to spread the name of Jesus and pull people in to our community. It is not easily done. It is not easily done. And some of the things that people get bothered by, even at our own church, people are like, man, why are we doing this? I will tell you, people matter. That's why we're doing that. And some people need that. Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't totally comfortable, but you know that it made somebody else comfortable, so it was kind of okay? Okay, so that's what we're doing a lot of times when we're orienting our services, when we're trying to figure out how to navigate certain situations or cultures or seasons. It's because people matter. And so we will maybe put ourselves in a season or situation of discomfort in order to pull somebody into a deep relationship with Christ. It is that simple, but it is that hard. Okay. Sometimes the simple things are actually the most challenging things. So I just want to pause. We're going to wrap up here in just a minute, but I want to just encourage you, number one, that you matter. I know we've been talking about other people this whole time, but I want you to know that right wherever you're sitting or walking or driving, you matter to the Father. You matter to him so much. You are so valuable to him. That if you're believing the lie right now that you're not valuable, that you're not, that you don't have any skills, that you're worthless, that you're stupid or ugly or whatever, if you're believing some of those things right now, I just want to encourage you that the Lord sees you and he is moved to compassion when he sees you. And he wants to pull you into greater things in his kingdom. He wants to eliminate the lies of the enemy that says that you're worthless. And he wants to instill in you that you are a king, a prince, a princess, a queen in your own right. You are a priest in the kingdom of God. And you are designed to move and shake the things on this planet. And you have a purpose just designed for you. You have a purpose and a calling specifically designed for you to love and bless Jesus in a unique and special way. Your loved ones matter. The people that are easy to love, they matter to you. And sometimes that's sometimes the easiest and the most challenging to love. I always tell teenagers, if you want to start loving somebody, love your siblings. If you can love your siblings when you're a teenager, the way that God tells you, you can love anybody. Your loved ones matter. Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they matter. There's actually verses that say they matter in a unique way. We need to go above and beyond to love the people of God. This is why we're recording, so that while you're watching at home, you never miss being a part of God's family. This is why we'll have a coffee shop in our lobby, because we want our environment to be inviting. We want to bless you. We want you to understand how to build community, and we just want you to have a good cup of coffee. And there's a lot of things we do to bless our own house because the people of God matter to us. And I will tell you, the lost matter. The people who have yet to come into the kingdom, they matter so much to Jesus. They're the one from the 99, and he is working hard through us to make sure that they're all in the kingdom. And the hardest one is that your enemies matter. The people who frustrate you, the people who have wounded you, the people who in all ways, shapes, or forms disagree with you. The people who maybe slander you or are trying to to eradicate some of your position or comforts in life, they matter to God. And that's the stuff that requires the Holy Spirit. We cannot love our enemies without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to go through a laundry list right now, because Jesus thought people mattered so much, so we have to think people matter so much. He thought people mattered enough to fast for 40 days and reject the temptation of the enemy. He thought people mattered enough to raise Lazarus from the grave. He thought they mattered enough to write in the sand until the accusers dropped their stones and left. They mattered enough to let the woman wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. People mattered enough to talk to a Samaritan woman at the well. They matter enough to tell the man to pick up his mat and walk. People matter enough for Jesus to turn over the money changer's table in the temple. People mattered enough to Jesus for him to calm the storm, for him to wash the disciples' feet, for him to feed the 5,000, to let Judas sit at his table. To Jesus, people mattered enough for him to die on the cross, to be rose from the dead. People mattered enough to appease doubting Thomas by letting him put his fingers in his wounds. People mattered enough for Jesus to send the Holy Spirit with power and anointing. And people matter enough for Jesus to commission you and me to make disciples in this world. So where are you at? This is one of our core values as Koinonians. This is what we believe. How are you doing with loving the people in your life? I go through hard seasons where I realize that I've not been intentional. I have not been sacrificial. I have not been considering the people around me. I've been on autopilot. I've been self-focused. And it's time to snap out of it. It's time to wake up. It's time to re-energize and engage loving people the way that Jesus does. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would enter into every place right here and now, and that you would encourage us, number one, that we are valuable, that because we have value, we can be confident in ourselves and we can be confident in you, Jesus. And I pray right now that you would eradicate the lies of the enemy that would settle into our spirit that says that we're not valuable, God. And I also pray that you would soften our hearts, give us compassion like never before. Help us to see people the way that you see people, God. Help us to not be lazy or rushed or distracted. Help us to be focused, laser focused in Jesus' name, to reach many, many people for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, I pray right now that in 2021, that every person under the sound of my voice would bring a new person into the kingdom, that we would have it in our intention that I am going to help somebody else know who Jesus is this year. And I will pray with them. I will walk with them. I will teach them. I will be a disciple maker in Jesus' name. And if I pray right now for any person who feels ill-equipped, they feel like they can't do it. They feel like they can't love. They feel like they can't forgive. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts. Help us know that there's a way. Help us know that we can grow, we can learn, and we can move into greater stages of loving people because of who you are. If it's hard, help it to be, give us a little relief, Father. Give us opportunities, Lord. I pray for any person who's dealing with unforgiveness right now, God, that we would have the ability to wipe away the hurt, even for a moment, and see people the way that you see people. Help us to forgive others the way you have forgiven us, in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. Help us to worship you by loving those around us. Help us to orient our life in a way that elevates you in everything that we do. Help us to keep igniting that contagious faith inside of us, trusting that you're guiding us, that you're in our spirit guiding us every moment. We love you, Lord. God, we love you so much. We desire to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.